Have you truly experienced the joy of generosity? I want you to know something from the very beginning. I am not going to talk about your money. So don't have to hide your wallets. And see, I can tell there's some absent this morning. See, they listen to the first service and say, I'm not going there.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone. We are delighted you've joined us today for the broadcast. Pastor Bill continues his in-depth study from the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians with the message entitled, The Joy of Generosity. Let's join Pastor Bill.
Amen. God is so good this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles as we continue our study through the epistle of 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 8 this morning. And, you know, it's so wonderful to begin chapter 8, and I'll tell you why. Because we leave behind the broken heart of Paul. Amen? The church at Corinth, which broke his heart more than all the other churches put together, his heart is now restored. We left Paul overflowing with comfort in his heart, just overflowing with joy because Titus finally found Paul. They connected together. He gave that great report about the church at Corinth, that now they have repented. They're back on track. Now their hearts are broken by the way that they treated Paul. So this morning, now that they have repented, we move into the second major section of the book of 2 Corinthians, and a glorious study it's going to be. So from chapter 8 all the way to chapter 9, I believe verse 15, the second major section begins. These two chapters deal with an offering that Paul has been taking up from the church, especially those in Macedonia, for relief for the poor saints of God there in Jerusalem who are suffering severely from, well, the famine, but also from persecution. Because when they came to Christ, they were completely excommunicated from all manner of life there, the temple and workplaces and so forth. And so this offering is going to be sent to them. Now, with all that being said, these two chapters, this is actually part one, but these two chapters, 8 and 9, that we're going to cover, they give us the most detailed information in the New Testament on the subject of giving. Giving is that's a wonderful thing, amen? Now listen, here's what I want you to do. Since I'm going to be talking about giving, I want to hear you thank the Lord and applaud and say, God, we praise you for this word, amen? That's right. I was going to say, let's just applaud the Lord like the Cowboys just beat the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Now, this morning I want to talk to you, actually the Lord wants to talk to you, okay, about the joy of generosity. This is part one of a message. Now, loved one, listen to me. Have you truly experienced the joy of generosity? That's a very important thing this morning. And such a wonderful word. And listen, I want you to know something from the very beginning. I am not going to talk about your money. So don't have to hide your wallets. And see, I can tell there's some absent this morning. See, they listen to the first service and say, I'm not going there. Yeah, they're still at home. And that's why I'm going to say, you know what, the first service, no more online streaming. No, I'm teasing. No. So I'm not going to talk about your money this morning. Here's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about your heart concerning your money. See how well I did that? Man, that was a smooth approach, wasn't it? Yeah. Listen, do you know why I'm doing that? It's because here's a wallet. You know, if I gave Mario, I'm not going to give it to you, but if I did, and if you had a stethoscope, you know, if you were a doctor, and you put a stethoscope, or however you say that word, up to that wallet, would you hear a heartbeat? He doesn't know. Would you hear a heartbeat? No, you wouldn't. Would you get a pulse? No, listen to me. I'm talking about your heart this morning concerning the joy of generosity because money takes on the personality. Your wallet takes on the personality of the one who puts it in their pocket. Does that make sense? So that's why this is so important. Money doesn't have a heart. It's immoral, okay? No, so this morning, is we know that Christians never have a problem asking the Lord God for money, nor should we, for provision. Jesus, even in our prayer time, what did he, when he taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, amen? The Lord is our provider. He provides all of our needs. But Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24. He says, you cannot, Christian, you cannot serve God and mammon. So this morning, mammon meaning money, properties, whatever. So let's look at the joy of generosity beginning in chapter 8, verse 1 this morning, where Paul writes after his broken heart, thank God, and he says, oh, moreover, brethren, we make known to you that the grace of God, let me stop right there. Grace of God is mentioned, very important in these two chapters, 10 times, okay? So he says, I make known to you the grace of God, lavishly bestowed, if you will, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, that's northern Greece. That would be Berea, Philippi, and of course, the church at Thessalonica. So the joy of generosity, the result of it is the grace of God, meaning the unmerited, undeserved, unearned, unconditional grace of God toward you and toward me. Amen? Man, we are grace givers, you know? And I look and say, oh, Lord, you're so good. See, whenever you see a joyful giver, that's the visible grace of God working in their lives. They understand grace. There's not a believer, there's not a person in the world, there's not a person in this chapel that has never experienced the grace of God. You have experienced the grace of God, amen? And that's why that's so important. But not every believer has experienced the joy of generosity. This chapter is so filled with that. Now, look at their condition. It says, Paul writes, he says, the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, watch this now, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance, the overflowing, the abundance of their what? Their joy and their deep poverty abounded or literally overflowed in the riches of their liberality. Or literally, that word means generosity, thus the joy of generosity. Let me read J.B. Phillips' translation on this same verse. He says, somehow in most difficult circumstances, their joy and the fact of being down to their very last penny themselves produced a magnificent concern for other people. The incredible joy of generosity that came from these churches in Macedonia to help the poor saints of God in Jerusalem. And loved one, listen to me. They gave despite the circumstances they were involved in. You ever think about that? Man, I mean, you know, the grace of God. We stand in the grace of God 24/7. But I want you to notice what the grace of God did not do to the churches of Macedonia. In other words, it did not relieve them from their deep poverty. It did not remove their great affliction. However, the grace of God sustained them, amen, just like it does us when we go through a tribulation in our lives. But look what the grace of God did. It opened the hearts of the Macedonian churches, and it opened their wallets. Why? To help those that did not have anything, to help those that were suffering. And you know what the grace of God did for, or what they didn't do, the Macedonian churches? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 tells us. Listen, it says, we then as workers together, Paul writes, with him, meaning we're an ambassadors of Christ, okay? Look what he says. Also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't be a grace waster. We live in the age of grace, amen? And he says, oh, listen, so the churches of Macedonia, they did not receive, they did not welcome the unmerited, undeserved, unconditional, unmerited, divine favor of the living God. Meaning, they didn't take it in vain. They didn't treat God's grace as meaningless or as having no value. They didn't do that at all. Listen, God's grace in our lives is never unproductive. It's always doing something. We were saved by grace. We're continuing to be saved by grace. Amen? Oh, listen, if anyone in that time had a defense or a case for not giving to God, wouldn't it be these three churches? Think about it for a moment. I mean, they were suffering like unbelievable, horrible persecution that was going on. And they said, no, Paul, I mean, they could have said, are you out of your mind, Paul? Look at us. We don't have a dime. We're in trouble ourselves. But what I want you to see, when was the joy of their generosity demonstrated to others? Look at those words. It says affliction. I should say not affliction, but great trial of affliction. Not poverty, extreme poverty. Or as one translation says, poverty at the very deepest level. They had hit rock bottom. Now listen, they gave with joy. They did so generously, not out of their abundance, but out of their lack, out of their poverty. What does that say to the 21st century church? We make so many excuses not to support the kingdom of God when we have all the grace of God that we will ever need. Man, loved one, we should never, never do that. Verse 3, for I bear witness that according to their ability, meaning the churches at Macedonia, yes, and beyond their ability, look what happened. They were freely willing. In other words, there was no special appeals made to them. They were freely willing. They wanted to, and they were imploring, or literally that word means they were begging us with much urgency that we would receive the gift. And that word gift, loved one, is the word grace in the Greek. So it's a grace gift. So we would receive the gift and the fellowship, the sharing, if you will, of the ministering to the saints. Now listen, can you believe that the church, the churches of Macedonia, they begged Paul. They begged Paul with much urgency, these Christians. And that's what I call joy, the joy of generosity, loved one. And I'm going to tell you what, before I go home to be with the Lord, I would love to be able to say to this church, you guys have got to stop giving. You guys are giving so much. I'm begging you. I can't take it anymore. The people who count the offerings, they're complaining. They're ready to leave. They say, I can't do any more numbers. It's Bill, stop this church. You could surprise me like that one time. You know what I mean? You could just say, you know what, let's blow Bill away. That would probably give me the big one, and I would be going, Elizabeth, I'm coming home. You know, it's over with. You know what I'm saying? Oh, listen. No, man, why did they do that? Look at verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. And how did they do it? By the will of God. Loved one, why did they have the joy of generosity? Because they did something that every Christian should do. They first gave themselves to the Lord, meaning that they were a living sacrifice. They said, Lord, here I am. Everything that I have, everything that belongs to me, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you, and I'm only a steward. And when you live like that, Christian, you know what follows? The right kind of giving in your life. When you first give yourselves and all that you do to the Lord. You know, listen to me now. The joy of generosity. You see, the churches of Macedonia, you know, when that offering to them, they were begging, again, with much urgency. You know what? They didn't view that as an obligation. They looked at it as an opportunity. They didn't look at it, loved one, they didn't look at it as a duty to be performed. They look at it as a desire of their very hearts. Why? Well, they gave themselves first to the Lord. Their hearts belong to the Lord, and the lowly heart of Jesus Christ fill their hearts. 1 John 2:6, it says, if we say that we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked, with the same heart, the same care for others, because Jesus is our Lord. Jesus lives in our life, in our heart. No, listen, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:16, don't forget to do good, that's a good word, and to share, for with these sacrifices, God is well pleased. Did you know that God is, when we give and we bless others and help, do you know that God is well pleased with that? Not only that, it says in 2 Corinthians 9, when we cover it next week, the Lord willing, it says, and you'll be made rich in every way that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Isn't it incredible? I love it. My giving unto God makes God thankful. What did Paul tell the churches, the elders, I believe, at Ephesus? Remember when he was leaving? He said, you know, I coveted no man's silver, no man's gold, no man's apparel. He said, and I worked with my own hand, providing my own needs. And remembered what Jesus had said, Acts 20, 35, I believe it is. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really believe that verse? Do you really believe it? You see, if you believe it, you do what it says, what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Oh, listen, loved one, God is so good to us. And here, you know, the first century church, the joy of generosity, the 21st century church, listen, not everyone, of course, but what do we do today? The church, we argue. We argue about, well, I don't know whether we should give. Well, why not? Have you not read your Bible? Or we argue about, you know, giving, and we argue about the tithe and so forth. How little can I give and still feel okay, comfortable, no guilt in my heart? Come on, lighten up. Yeah, God's word will get you. I have sometimes people say, well, you know, that's the Old Testament. Well, so a New Testament believer should give less than the Old Testament believer? Hello? Oh, no. I had a guy come talk to me the other day. He says, something about, well, I just gave a big offering to the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And I said, so did you tithe? No, I don't tithe. Well, I said, well, if you didn't tithe, you didn't get an offering unto the Lord. What'd you say? I said, sir, I don't care how much you get, but if you didn't tithe, if you don't tithe, you have never given an offering to the Lord, because it says tithes and offerings. Now, I know some of you say, I don't believe in the tithe. I'm under grace. That's fine with me. I believe in the tithe, and I believe in offering. I give a tithe, not that I'm prideful, but all of my life, all of my young life, now that I'm just only 50, I'm still doing the same thing. Tithe and an offering. Tithe and an offering. I believe in that. And I see what God does. I believe it. It belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Amen? Now, it says there in verse 6, so we urge Titus that as he had begun, in other words, Titus now had begun taking up that offering from the Corinthians, okay? He says, so he would also complete this, there's that word again, grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and your love for us, see that you, the word abound there is excel, that you excel in this grace also. So Paul is praising them. He's saying, man, you abound in all knowledge and speech and all of that. He's literally talking there about the gifts of the Spirit. Remember back in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 1:5, it says, Paul says, you are enriched in everything. Boy, you're so blessed by God. All things are yours. And they were operating in the gifts of the Spirit, even though they were abusing the gifts of the Spirit, okay? So Paul says, just like you excelled in all of that, excel in your giving. Why? Because when we give to God, did you notice he uses the word love? When we give to God, when we give to the kingdom, to support the kingdom work, the things that God's called us to do, loved one, it expresses our love for the Lord Jesus. When you tithe, if you tithe, or if you, however you do it, whatever you believe, you know, do you know Hebrews 7 says you give unto the Lord? That's who it goes to. We're giving back what he has given unto us. Amen? Yeah. And so here he says, you know, we express our love in giving to the Lord, but we express our love to others when we help others. You see, it says in 1 John 3:17, John writes, he says, but whoever has this world's goods, in other words, you're making a little bit of money in your life, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? As I said in the early service, we have to be very careful with that verse. You know, say, okay, well, my brother's in need, and here, just take whatever I have. That's not what John is saying. He's saying this. I'm not going to give you a hand out. I'm going to give you a hand up. There's a lot of times that you can help believers in the church and you support them and you're actually enabling them to stay in the same crummy condition that they're in. Come on. Yes, we don't do that. No, we're going to do what the Lord says. So don't misunderstand that verse. Look at verse 8 now. Paul talking to the church at Corinth, us as well. He says, I speak not by commandment. I'm not putting any pressure on you, in other words. But I'm testing or I'm proving the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Now, who are the others that Paul is talking about? He's giving them the example of the Macedonian churches that are giving with much urgency, that joy that they have in their hearts. And so he says, I speak not by commandment. See, the grace of giving out of our hearts, it can't be by commandment, because then it's no longer grace giving, is it? That's where we give freely. Lord, we want to do these things. Paul says, I don't want to put any pressure on you at all, but here's what I am going to do. I'm going to test you. I'm going to test and prove, I want to see it, the sincerity of your love. Boy, the joy of generosity can be tested in our hearts. That, see, when we give to other people, when we give to the church and so forth, it is response of our sincere love. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters, or literally he who refreshes others, will also be refreshed or watered himself. Proverbs 22:9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. And speaking of poor, look at verse 9. For you know the grace, and look where the object of that grace goes to. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though Jesus was rich, when was Jesus rich? From when he came from heaven to this earth, amen? Yes. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become what? Rich. Now let me just stop right there. Because, you know, whenever I hear this scripture taught in a heretical way, the wrong way, totally wrong doctrine, or they take and make a doctrine out of one verse, it breaks my heart. You know, that's not talking about that we're going to become millionaires, okay? I mean, if anybody saw the news last night, if you saw that about the televangelists that were on, I'm not beating them up, I don't even want to say their names, but it was about their jets. And the reporter just simply asked, did you really have to spend $54 million for your jet? That's a lot of money. I mean, that scripture is not about having a jet airplane. Do you understand? No. You know, I thought I'd have my jet by now, but it didn't work that way. No, that's not what this scripture means at all. Now listen, let me tell you what it does mean. It means that the church at Corinth, they didn't need a command about giving. We don't need a command about giving. Why? Jesus Christ is all the example that we need. Man, he left the splendor, the glory of heaven for the squalor of this crummy earth. Amen? He came to die on the cross for you and for me and for all of the world. He who was rich, he owns everything, he created everything, gave up everything and became the God-man. The incarnation, the virgin birth, if you will. He came to save us. Every time, loved one, you give to our global work or our local work, you know what you do? You change a person's life. You do exactly what Jesus called us to do. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. See, the joy of generosity, he's our true example, and he is the only example that we will ever, ever need for all of our giving. Why is that? Because our giving should be rooted in how he gave. What does it say, John 3:16? You know it by heart. For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave us the Son, that when we believe in him, we would not perish, we'll not burn in hell, man, but we would have everlasting life.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for today, but we encourage you to tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion to today's message. And we want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. We pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us
for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.